Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Chaplain Craig Topple on his run for the District 5 commissioner seat in Athens, Clark County.
One of the gifts that I've been given that I'm most proud of is my ability to collaborate, work with others across the diversity that might be represented around any room.
Plus, photography and conservation with a local travel show producer.
During a busy day, it can be hard to make room for even one more thing. So it's a real plus that All Things Considered from NPR News is great for multitaskers. You can confidently add being well-informed to your to-do list and know that you will get it done. Whether you're cleaning out your junk drawer on a quick drive or something else, listen to All Things Considered every weekday afternoon.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. May 19th is Election Day, when several Northeast Georgia races are on the ballot. Athens resident and chaplain Craig Topple is running to be the next commissioner for District 5. Topple faces several opponents in the race to succeed current District 5 Commissioner Dexter Fisher, who is running for mayor of Athens, Clark County. Topple sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss his platform and what sets him apart in the field of candidates. Here's their conversation.
First of all, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what's leading you to run for commissioner?
Well, Emma, I want to say it's really nice to be on your show. I've been an admirer of WUGA for a long time, and I'm a frequent listener. I don't listen to every episode, but I certainly have been listening a lot recently, and y'all are doing excellent coverage of not only the campaigns and the upcoming election, but also just important matters when it comes to things that affect Athens and the larger community. So I want to congratulate you on that work, and it's really a privilege to be with you here in the studio. My background, I grew up in Georgia, born and raised here, and I've been on sort of a yo-yo relationship with Georgia. As I graduated high school, I went off to school outside of Chicago, came back, finished at Georgia Tech, and then I moved to Latin America for about 4 years. That's where I started seminary. Then I came back to Decatur, which is where my family is, and completed seminary, and then went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, served a church for about 6.5 years there. We had both of our children there, and then moved back to Georgia for my wife to pursue her PhD in social work from University of Georgia. We thought we were just passing through, but Athens, the special place that it is, that we had not had an intimate relationship with, took hold of us. And it's been just a wonderful experience being here for the past 13 years. This is where we're raising our children. This is where we have our jobs, our careers. And so running for office wasn't something I necessarily had considered. Some people approached me about doing this when the seat for District 5 was vacated. And as I began to explore that in my own spiritual life through a process of discernment, as well as just putting out there with friends, people in the community, I received so much positive feedback that I said, this is something I can't ignore. And so here I am running. I've never done anything politically like this before, but certainly been civically minded and engaged in the community wherever I've been.
All right. Turning to some of the more city level issues, what do you think are the greatest challenges facing Athens?
Sure. And this is what's so interesting. As far as considering serving in a public service position, when I was a pastor in Santa Fe, I was on a commission there. That was a commission addressing specifically immigration matters. And then since I've been here in Athens, I served on the Athens in Motion Commission. And so it kind of gave me some perspective about what are issues that are important to communities and how do we address those in tangible ways. So issues that are important, and this is what's been really interesting for me as I've gone out and I know a fair number of people in the community, but as I've knocked on doors, I'm realizing how many people there are to know in this community. And when people open their doors and they're willing to engage in conversations, I'm listening for what their concerns are. If I'm in Forest Heights neighborhood, they might be concerned about traffic flow, how it affects their ability for their children to go out and play in their communities. If I'm in other neighborhoods, they might be concerned about a homeless population. So, I mean, it's sort of, I pay attention, I read the papers, I listen to your podcasts, and so some of the issues that continue to come up that you can probably tell me better than I can have been, you know, the Homewood Hills development, the data centers and the moratorium that was recently agreed upon by the mayor and commission. Affordability is something that continues to come up. So these are all the issues and concerns that people share in common. And then the question becomes, how do we address these in tangible, feasible ways?
Experts predict that Athens will expand by tens of thousands of people in the coming decades. Do you expect District 5 to be impacted by this influx of new Athenians? And what approach would you take to managing growth in District 5?
Growth is inevitable. I've read the future land use plan that was put out. I think it's something that we just need to accept, but to do it in sustainable ways. There are smart ways to approach growth. I don't know that closing the door on our way in is the best approach to the reality that this is an attractive country, this is an attractive city. Birth rates are what they are. And so how do we manage growth? We do it in smart ways. There are a lot of people who have done this before us in terms of addressing growth. We don't face the same limitations that a city like Santa Fe might face where there's significant water issues. But we still have our own resource issues that we have as far as limitations of land. So how do we engage in smart growth? And so as somebody who would be in a position to be part of those conversations, I would hope to bring the people around the table that want to address this in tangible ways. I graduated from Georgia Tech as an industrial engineer, and one thing about that program and about that experience is that we don't need to run away from problems or avoid problems, but to take those problems, lean into them, and see that there are solutions, and that can be actually some of the most invigorating and exciting process is to see, wow, this was a complicated problem, and we are getting towards a solution. And that can be very, very empowering and life-giving for people, very meaningful. It's an awesome community. I can understand why it's growing, growing by residents who are having children here like we are, growing by people who are moving here and seeing what a great community it is, by seniors. Part of my primary role at St. Mary's is working with senior communities. And this continues to be a top 10 place to retire, I believe. Maybe you've seen that too. And so how do we create this community where we can, what is it that people resonate with as they're here? All of the many offerings, but how do we keep it affordable for people to continue to stay here? I was with somebody recently who said he grew up here and he labeled himself as growing up poor. And he said, I can't afford to live here anymore. And that's something that really we would want to avoid is people who want to stay here, but feel like they can't afford to live here. I feel like that's something that should be addressed.
What would you say are some of the solutions to creating more affordable housing?
Well, yesterday I had the privilege of, and this is kind of a subset of affordable housing, right? Because it addresses affordable housing, home ownership, and potentially the unhoused. But I had the privilege of sitting with Charles Smith, who's the Vice President of Operations at Habitat for Humanity. And what they are doing there is incredible. And it's exemplary of how Athens can take ideas and implement them in our community in a way that makes sense, as well as being innovative. They are innovating in incredible ways. And they are showing that this is a real solution to addressing some of those issues that we were talking about in a sustainable way. I mean, they're merging all of these challenging aspects of how do we address housing. They call them kind of tiny homes, which is a great title, isn't it? And they're modular structures that are built in Baxter, Georgia. They're installed here in Athens. They do it in a very sound way. It's a very affordable way. It's a very sustainable way. They have solar panels on them. And it's land, it's the house and the dirt, as Charles was telling me. It's land that people who need homes, want homes, can move into, and they own those homes. And the longitudinal studies that have been done to show the outcomes of that have been remarkable in terms of impacting people in very positive ways. So that's just one solution that people are coming up with. What are some of the zoning issues that need to be addressed? What's the political will? You know, there's all these aspects of wherever there's been some challenges to address the housing issue, I would be happy to and excited about working on with the people that are working on those things.
How would you assess the current functioning of the Athens-Clarke County Commission? What do you think you would add as a person and as a politician to this body?
Sure. Most of what I hear about with the mayor and commission has been positive. But there are challenges. In any relationship, there's challenges in terms of how we see things, how we feel like we're heard, how we feel like we're understood. As a professional chaplain, there's a training that goes into building rapport and to giving the benefit of the doubt and to working in a collaborative way that's for the well-being of all. And so I would hope, and this has been my history, I'm 50 years old, been in ministry for almost 30 years. And in that time, I've learned how to build rapport, trust, confidence, where people can confide in me, where people can trust me, where I can see a broad spectrum of perspectives, and then collaborate. And I feel like that's one of the gifts that I've been given that I'm most proud of is my ability to collaborate, work with others across the diversity that might be represented around any room. And so I hope that would be something that would be beneficial for a setting like that. I believe half of the members of that body, the other half I would look forward to getting to know.
All right. Craig Topple, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Emma. This is really a pleasure. Thank you.
Craig Topple is a chaplain running to be the next commissioner of District 5 in Athens-Clarke County. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Hi, it's Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA, the NPR program heard right here each week. We all love great stories, whether it's a book or a movie or, yeah, on a radio show. And great stories are what we pride ourselves in delivering to you each week. Stories from the heart, stories that make you think, help inspire you, and maybe even get you a little angry. So if you haven't tuned in lately, I invite you to stop by. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Another race on the ballot this year is for the District 7 seat on the Clarke County School District Board of Education. Lily Brooks is an Athens resident and former teacher running for the role. She sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss her platform. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's leading you to run for a seat on the Board of Education of CCSD?
I have been involved in CCSD schools for almost 10 years now. My older kids, they're twins. They are in the 10th grade right now. And ever since we got back to Athens, I have just been really invested in the school system. I have taught pre-K at Barrow. I have been a parent volunteer at just about every school that we've been to, which has been a broad range because we moved around just a little bit in our youngest elementary. So we have Barrow, Timothy, and then Clarke Middle and Clarke Central. So just my involvement has just gotten to the point where I've been the president of the Family Advisory Board for all of Clarke County for 2 years now, and just seeing the work that we do as parents and families, just relaying questions from the parents and the families to the superintendent, I just realized that being more involved is very important as we are invested. My husband and I, Josh, we are invested in the community as a whole, and a big portion of that is the academics and the school system and the stakeholders that our community, you know, the education system really says a lot for the whole community. And so it's important to us, and it's become very important to me as a former teacher, as a parent, and just as a community member and a volunteer of things. And I just found like it was the next step. So.
And what are some key platforms for you?
So some of my key platforms are identifying some literacy issues. It's particularly associated with dyslexia and other learning disabilities. I know there's a lot of that going on with some state legislation that we've had passed in the last few years, and just making sure that we are not missing any kids in any way, of identifying them and giving them the support that they need. I know it's a difficult task to identify them in some ways, to get the official diagnosis type of situation, and just making sure that all students have access to that sort of identification. I'm also super passionate about graduation rates and what's called CCRPI scores, which is just basically the scores that are given to each school as their achievement scores, and based on testing and school climate and things like that. And we do have a few schools that have been put on the Georgia State list of quote unquote failing schools or in needing some assistance. And so I think that just helping not just those schools, but all the schools do the best they can and meet the kids where they are and pull them up. And it goes very much along with the first thing that I said, which was literacy. And then I talk a lot about absenteeism, because as a part of the Parent Advisory Council for the whole state of Georgia, which I've been a part of for 2 years also, we talk a lot about absenteeism and its the issues that people have across the state. It's not just a local issue. So there are some resources we could dig into there that they have created, and some conferences and things that they've created for school systems to help with absenteeism. And then my last thing is the Athens Community and Career Academy, which is, as most people don't really know that it exists, but the high schoolers can go to classes that lead them through a pathway of some sort of pre-college certification or testing, that they can get some base knowledge on some subject that they're really interested in, whether it's medical, cosmetology, biotechnology, firefighting. And it's really great to allow the high school students who don't necessarily do their best in a typical classroom. I mean, there's still kind of typical classrooms over there, but there's a little bit more freedom, and they're digging into something that they're super passionate about, and they can learn for their future if they're still going to be wanting to be involved in that sort of pathway for their career.
Lily Brooks, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Lily Brooks is an Athens resident and former teacher running for the District 7 seat on the Clark County School District Board of Education. WUGA looks forward to speaking with her opponent on a later episode of Athens News Matters. Viewfinders is a PBS travel show with a following of millions. Co-hosts and photographers Chris Greer and Paul Daniel travel the world, taking beautiful images and learning about conservation practices. Greer is a Watkinsville resident, and he sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss season 4 of Viewfinders, which airs on GPB. Here's their conversation.
So for people who haven't seen Viewfinders, can you give us an overview of what the show is about?
Yeah, so essentially it's a travel show with a foundation of photography, but also there's quite a bit of educational content when it comes to conservation and ecology. And so the premise is there are two professional photographers heading out to find the most beautiful places in the world to photograph. And along the way, there's a lot of different adventures, and the audience is just kind of joins the hosts as they travel to and explore these locations. But once they're there, they meet with a variety of experts who educate them and the audience about why these places are so significant and the things that are being done to help protect them.
Let's talk a little bit about season four. Where do you visit?
So we start out, we go to Iceland, and we filmed two episodes in Iceland, and we had some pretty cool adventures in the highlands, crossing rivers, and just seeing some really phenomenal scenery. So after we finished our time in Iceland, we actually flew over to the Faroe Islands, and those are very distant, remote, small, like, collection of islands all connected by undersea tunnels, and they have a very tight culture and cuisine and landscape, and so we really had some great adventures there as well. Spent time with a Michelin chef, took some amazing photos, and had some cool experiences. After that, we came back to the United States and filmed a few episodes here in the U.S., so we went out to Ted Turner's Ladder Reserve. And that was really cool because he owns all of these properties throughout the U.S. that are hundreds of thousands of acres, and they're really dedicated to conservation. So it's really beautiful. This is in, like, southern New Mexico, but it also offers great conservation stories. And then, of course, we needed to do a Fall Colors episode because we're photographers. So we went up to Great Smoky Mountains National Park as well, and spent many days there photographing, filming, and spending time with some organizations like Tremont and like Friends of the Smokies, Discover Life in America, and the National Park Service.
What can people learn about being behind the camera? What does it mean to find a view?
We use that term, and we use it in a broad sense, in that we want to inspire people to get out and see the beauty of the world. And some people aren't able to travel real far away, and that's okay because there are literally parks and green spaces and really beautiful natural areas inside and outside of pretty much all communities. So we want people to get out, enjoy nature, experience a view that they, will remember for a long time. Maybe they'll take a picture, maybe they won't, but they're outside appreciating the world we live in, and that's one of our main motivations for the show.
Chris Greer, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Chris Greer is a Watkinsville-based media professional and co-host of the PBS travel show Viewfinders. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.